Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
I am told the team wants to interview Notre Dame's Marcus Freeman for the job. Freeman is in the midst of a magical run with the Fighting Irish to the national championship game. Obviously, unlikely that he would entertain NFL overtures prior to that game a week from tomorrow against Ohio State. But the Bears have done extensive research for months on Marcus Freeman. He's only 39 years old. Would not be a shock if at some point he at least considers going to the NFL.
And maybe he's considering that right now. Take him away from our good friend Jordan Cornette and Notre Dame. Yeah, he's a former Bear, technically. So let's do that. Jordan Cornette works for NBC and does a great job doing it. He joins us now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Hi, Jordan.
Speaks, Lawrence. It's good to be on with you guys, man. Did not expect to hear that kind of intro in the second week of the college football season when we were upended by Northern Illinois. I don't think anybody was interested in Marcus Freeman. And outside of hate texts making fun of my program, I don't think anybody was interested in Notre Dame as a talking point anywhere besides how bad they were. So it's been really cool to see where they've come.
Nice to talk to you, Jordan Cornette. Tell us what Marcus does on the regular in terms of position groups he works with or not, how much coordination he does or not, how much CEOing. Obviously a great motivator and leader. That part has been clear.
Great motivator, great leader, definitely has a heavy amount of CEO in him. I mean, look no further than bringing in Denbrock and Golden to be his OC and DC, two of the best in the game. Bringing Denbrock in most recently, Golden being there for the first two seasons of the three-year tenure now of Coach Freeman. So he understands that he needs to surround himself with the proper people. And if that's going to be a guy that ends up being with the Bears, you want him to come in and put guys in position that are the best in their role. And I would argue Al Golden and Coach Denbrock are two of the best at doing that. So that's part of it. He's very hands-on with the scheme, with the game plan. Obviously, he's a defensive-minded guy. You mentioned that he was, you know, drafted by the Bears, I believe, in what was the fifth round, if my memory serves me correctly. Mm-hmm. But he's also a heavy analytics guy, which people don't really talk about that. He's got an analytics guy that is on that sideline with him. One of the stats that I always find intriguing about Notre Dame is we're known to, you know, control the clock and manage a conservative game, but nobody went for it more on fourth down in Power 5 football than Marcus Freeman and Notre Dame. And a lot of parallels can be drawn to that Detroit Lions group up there who loves to do that. And last time I checked, they're having pretty good success. He's a hell of a coach. He's a great man. He's built a culture there. They've been a resilient group. The way they've responded from week two, the injuries they've had throughout the season, major ones, even as recent as that win over Penn State. And they managed to not only win, but thrive. And I think it speaks to that guy. He is a culture guy, but he checks every other box you can think of.
When they made the hire, what were your feelings on him? Because I know there were some people like, wow, this is a departure from what Notre Dame usually does.
I was stunned. I was stunned because I know what Notre Dame is. And what I mean by that is you're hiring a guy who was 35 at that point and had never been a head coach. That ain't a Notre Dame move. That ain't a Notre Dame football move. So knowing that he was going to learn on the job was surprising, because you don't really get to learn on the job being the head coach of Notre Dame. And we watched real time. You know, he started off 0-3, that loss to Marshall at home. We watched Marcus Freeman take his lumps early on, and we watched that seat get very hot because it's Notre Dame. We watched him have a couple head-scratching moves that he probably would go back and tweak in his second season that may have cost him at points. But then when you get to year three, like any coach, that's what you're judged on. And we watched this guy really step into it. Sure, they didn't get it done in week two against Northern Illinois, but how they responded. And now you can look at the last two wins against two of the better coaches in college football, certainly with Nick Saban out, the gold standard in Kirby Smart. You can confidently say Coach Freeman out-coached both of them in getting Notre Dame here a week away from being able to be 60 minutes away from a national championship. So it's incredible to watch the growth of Coach Freeman, and now he's comfortable. Now he's one of the best coaches in the game.
Jordan, I know that everyone surrounding that Northern Illinois game has been real tight-lipped. I mean, we had Northern's coach on the station, and he wouldn't tell us what he told Marcus Freeman. Marcus Freeman is not saying what Thomas Hammack told him. I'd love to know what you think might have been said to Marcus Freeman that changed that season and now has Notre Dame with an opportunity to win it all.
You know, it's a great question, and I wish I could give you some inside info there. So I know you're asking me to project. I think he just basically spoke to the vulnerabilities of our team, where they felt like they could attack us on the run. And that was only the second week of the season. Notre Dame's turned out to be one of the most stout defenses against the run and one of the most stout defenses in college football. I think there was some deficiencies, vulnerabilities that coach saw that he related to Coach Freeman, and maybe there's an adjustment there. I not to name drop, but it's a guy we're talking about. I am pretty close to Coach Marcus Freeman. You know, he's a guy who came down for my late brother's golf outing this past summer down in Cincinnati, Ohio, and was one of the guest speakers. And not only did he come, but he flew in his quarterback, Riley Leonard, Xavier Watts, an All-American defensive guy in his secondary, along with Ben Morrison, an All-American, and had them all down there for it. So I'm pretty close with the guy. I've never dared to ask because it's like one of those games that just was out of sight, out of mind, never talked about again. For those who follow me on Twitter, and I haven't tweeted much lately, but I did tweet after that game. I said, hey, while everyone's piling on with Northern Illinois loss, just remember, champions, it's all in the response. If anybody has the time or is bored to go back and look, you can see that date. I tweeted that because I truly believe Coach would get those guys back on track and have a chance to play with a national title. I said all wasn't lost, and here we are. And that's because when you're around that guy, that's the kind of belief that's infectious with Coach Freeman. He's an incredible dude.
How does he really feel about James Franklin? You can tell us.
I mean, how could anybody else? I mean, look, I don't want to badmouth the guy. I got bills to pay here. I cover the Big Ten on the football side with NBC. I just thought it was not the best look from Coach Franklin. Uh-huh. And I thought, once again, staring in the face of how you're going to handle this, Coach chose class. I mean, you're coaching for a national championship, and you're talking about the guy like he's a kid sitting next to
you. Yeah, you could say it, Jordan. He was trying to sun him. He tried to sun him in that moment.
He really was. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, this dude would knock your block off, bro. Like, the way he was talking, it's just – and look, I know Franklin's kind of a quirky guy. I thought the timing of it all wasn't proper. I thought the decision to sit there from his ivory tower and start talking about Notre Dame not being in a conference. And, like, does anybody remember Penn State? Does anybody know Penn State's history? They were independent.
Uh-huh.
They were forced independent, too. They couldn't do it any longer. Notre Dame can still do it. That's why they are. But just the timing of that whole thing, it rubbed me the wrong way. But at the end of the day, Notre Dame got it done. Coach Freeman didn't sink down to that level. And I enjoyed, once again, our coach making our school look good and himself looking better.
Got to tell you, when you said, does anybody remember Penn State's history? That's not where I went. But it's even more reason not to go holier than thou the way that James Franklin does.
That's true.
From time to time. All right. Speaking of holy, tell us about the conversion to Catholicism for one Marcus Freeman in 2022. That's fascinating to me. And as you know, the guy, obviously, I'm sure that went over well within Notre Dame. But that's a pretty that's a big deal. Personally,
it would go over really well with the Bears too, Jordan. Real talk.
Well, you know what I do. He went on an incredible win streak after that speech. I think you'd have to look at the numbers after he converted to Catholicism. which is funny, but you know, this whole Chicago Bears Notre Dame thing, and look, nobody's higher on Coach Freeman. He's also a friend. I just don't know if it benefits either side at this point in time. For if I'm Freeman's camp, there's reasons why it's not appealing, and for the Bears from their side, there's reasons why it's not appealing.
All right, tell us why. Tell us why it's not appealing from Marcus' side. Because I got to tell you, I ran into a Notre Dame fan this morning at the grocery store, and he was like, "He would never leave Notre Dame for the Bears."
That's absurd. It's the NFL. It's the major leagues. I mean, look, all coaches have a desire to get to the NFL. I'm not head in the clouds Notre Dame guy like that. What I will say is, he is on the Shay's in the background yelling liar when I say that. Of course, she's going to chime in.
Hey, maybe Shay, I am that Notre Dame.
They said hello. She's in there making salmon for dinner, and my big ass needs something light like that because I'm trying to cut some pounds.
Whatever.
Anyway, I digress. I would say the reason speaks to answer your question why I think that it's not necessarily a move now for him. At some point, absolutely, the NFL is. But right now, he's on the precipice of turning this Notre Dame team into the 85 Bears. Like, you've learned on the job, you've gotten to this point. The playing field has never been more level in college football. Ask Lawrence about his Alabama Crimson Tide right
now.
Right. Look at the SEC. Look at all these spots right now. Anybody with the right NIL, the right commitment to it, has a chance. Notre Dame happens to be sitting pretty right there. It hasn't been since 88 that Notre Dame was in this position to go. Well, they were in the position in 2012. Back to Alabama.
Roll
we know
tie.
How that went. They're now in position to do something incredible. And if it doesn't happen this year, they're positioned to continue to do it. I do believe there's a loyalty knowing the relationships Freeman has with administration in Notre Dame, how grateful he is to be given the opportunity to learn on the job and get to this spot. And I don't think he's going to jump at the first opportunity. And it's not like the Chicago Bears opportunity is the sexiest of opportunities, if we're being honest with ourselves.
Oh,
I think you're right about that.
Dare you.
By the way, Spiegs, since Jordan brought Shay up, what you might not know is that while Jordan had starred as a basketball player at Notre Dame, loves his alma mater, his lovely wife went to IU. So when Notre Dame and IU played, I imagine that there was some furniture moving at the Cornett house.
Let me tell you, my national sports center hosting, do it all, more talented of the two in the household, wife Shay, just discovered Indiana had a football team when they fell into the field of 12 from the college football playoff. So, like, all this, like, I went to that Notre Dame-Indiana game in South Bend, and you know what she said? The temperature is going to be too cold. I'm good. So she ain't really a fan. Who's your basketball? She's in. She was sometimes about the football thing. It wasn't as big a deal. She knew what was coming to him, and the inevitable happened. And here we are now.
Is she rooting against you going forward?
No, you know what? She's all in. She's all in now. I think because she knows Marcus too. Like, we've gotten to know him really well, and there's a part of it. I won't get too heavy here, but you guys know the history of, you know, the tragedy of my brother in 2016 and him passing away, and Marcus supporting our foundation and making the time like he had and endearing himself to all of us in Cincinnati, my wife, my family. Like, I see a little bit of my brother in this run. So, like, of course, I'm already an obnoxious Notre Dame guy probably already because that's how we are. But there's, like, a greater part of this. Me and my brother always used to go after I graduated. We'd go back for Notre Dame games. He hated Notre Dame. He's a Michigan fan. But he converted. And so, like, there's part of me that's watching this run with a feel of my brother, which makes it that much more magical.
Oh, man. See, that's beautiful.
Yeah, Speak. So now you can't hammer me now.
It was already happening. It was already happening that I was falling for plucky, underrated Notre Dame. Like, they're likable somehow.
Well,
they are.
I think is the coolest part of this.
Yes.
On the heels of, you know, Notre Dame's history, how our fan base is perceived, who Brian Kelly was, despite the fact that he won a lot. Like, now you've got a guy that everybody wants. Like, it's you're watching a team, mind you, yes, there's a lot of talent. We have only one five-star. We're going against a team that has 14. Like, and it's not like people love Ohio State and their fan base. Like, we kind of got everybody rooting for us in the country,
yes,
which is pretty cool.
And let me add something else. Our buddy Barry Rosner, NIU grad, and was in South Bend for that win and, like, had such a good time. But he continues to say just how gracious and kind and cool every Notre Dame fan he interacted with that day was. Like, good for you, man. Good for you guys. And, like, the friendship of Thomas Hammock and Freeman and all that. Like, the Notre Dame team has good vibes, and it makes me uncomfortable. Jordan, frankly.
I mean, who would have thought we'd be here in 25? I mean, who would have thought? But it's true, and I just think the way these guys have responded, the way these guys have banded together, our coach really is at the top. He's at the pillar of that, and it's infectious with this group. I mean, they're a fun team to root for. Riley Leonard is an all-shucks kind of kid who just can't believe he's playing college football. I happen to think he's a little bit underrated. Yeah, the numbers aren't gaudy. He's not as good as some of the elite in the game, but he's a gamer, man. Like, this team is easy to root for. Like, it's fun to watch. It's just really cool to see how they're putting this thing together, how they're doing it. And I love that Coach Freeman's getting the attention so early in his career as a guy who can maybe change the face of a franchise, the organization, and where it's trending right now. And people think he could be a guy to do it. I love that. And I hope whatever decision he makes is the best one for him and his 85 children and his beautiful wife.
He's got 7 kids, that's for sure. Uh-huh. You're not far behind him, by the way, Cornette. So, you know, keep it down over there.
We're trying to just stay where we are right now. We got a nice household right now. Don't need to add any more to the mix. It's a constant back and forth fight in the Cornette household, not to be too much TMI.
Does Marcus Freeman have enough petty in him to bring Lou Holtz out for this game against Ohio State? Considering the Ryan Day, Lou Holtz thing.
The Ryan Day setup. Look, I guarantee that Lou Holtz will be there for that game. I guarantee they'll have him in some sort of box. Now, to put him on the sideline, bring him out for the handshake in the beginning of the game, that would be pretty intense. I do know this. I'm getting calls from people in our business that want to be there for that game that I did not think would care to see Notre Dame do it. But they've been converted because of Coach Marcus Freeman.
Jordan, what a pleasure, man.
You're absolutely great, man. Thank you so much. Tell Shay we said hello.
I will absolutely do that. Before I let you go, I got to let you know this, Lawrence. My son, my 17-year-old, junior in high school, committed a couple months ago to swim at the University of Alabama as a sprinter. So we got some Crimson Tide in the family.
Now, high tide, exactly. Finally,
hey, think about those NIL deals, getting his little black ass in the pool. I mean, there's going to be a lot of money involved. We're very excited about it. I love you guys, man. My best to Shane as well.
Thanks, man. Great to talk to you, Jordan.
It's Jordan
Cornette. God, he's fun. I was told on Nightline years ago that wasn't a thing.
No, I mean, well, Tim Duncan kind of, you know, dispelled that myth.
Oh, my God.
Shout out to Jordan. I love Jordan. I worked with Jordan and Shay. So seeing them, like, have the opportunity to work together again when Jordan was at ESPN. Uh-huh. But he's right. The star of that family is Shay, and she's showing it.
Hey, quick baseball update. This Japanese pitcher, Roki Sasaki, who's 21 years old and can be signed via the international free agent rules and only a minor league deal, and that window opens tomorrow. His agent is slowly telling teams that they're out of the running on Roki Sasaki. So the Giants were told they are not in. The Mets were told they are not in. The Yankees were told that they are not in. The Rangers have been told that they are not in. That leaves the Dodgers, the Padres, the Mariners, we think, the Blue Jays, and the Cubs. So there are 5 teams left, and I'm sure that Jed Hoyer is looking for a text and wondering and hoping that it doesn't come. Dodgers and Padres thought to be the favorite, with the Mariners an outside possibility, but Cubs are certainly a possibility, and this would be a very exciting young pitcher to add.
We shall see. When we come back, Spiegs will explain why he thinks Tom Brady's above the law. It's next on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
I might swerve in that corner.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Okay.
See, we're in full service, 670 The Score station.
Afternoons on The Score.
Terrific run. Again, just, you want to win these games. As coaches always say.
Right, you're right.
Tom Brady said that you want to win these games. Coaches always tell you that. He's spot on. Spiegel and Holmes show on The Score. I thought Brady was really good yesterday. I don't know about you, but I
didn't think it was his best game, but I thought he was fine.
I thought there were a ton of really good moments. I thought it was even fun. He was funny twice. He said, same push, different tush, mm-hmm. when Tucker Kraft was in there, I think it was. Or whoever it was for the Eagles.
It was Dallas Goedert.
It was Goddard. They both did it with the tight end. And then he said, I've never seen anybody read a book. I've seen a quarterback eat a hot dog.
Yes.
Goes back to Sanchez.
Yeah.
Right?
I feel like he should just let her rip these last, what, three games that he's going to call? Because I don't think he's doing this after the season is over.
I don't think he should be doing it, Lawrence. I don't think he should be doing it right now, this week.
Why not?
I'm pissed, frankly. And I think any Bears fan or Cowboys fan or Jaguars fan, any team that is desirous of Ben Johnson as a head coach, should not like the fact that the Raiders, who are hardcore into the idea of Ben Johnson, are having one of their owners call the game this week. Now, Brady is not allowed to go to meetings, but he's certainly allowed to hang around the team and hang around the facility and hang around the field before games.
Well, wait. He is not allowed to hang around the facility.
Okay.
Right. He can the place where the game is called, he can be there and he can be on the field like he was with Caleb.
Sure.
When the Bears were on Fox that time and he called the game.
He can interact with Ben Johnson as much as he wants, and Ben Johnson allows before the game, right there on the field, and use his largesse of, hey, look at me, Tom Brady, which of course he's going to use anyway. But he can use it in the course of that game, and Ben Johnson gets to watch other people kissing Tom Brady's ass and be around the orbit of Tom Brady. It's like, you remember the moment when LeBron and Chris Bosh went to Miami and
the banana boat,
and sat with Pat Riley,
threw the rings on the table,
said, "Hey, look at me. This is what I do." You know, Brady's going to have that moment in Vegas eventually if Ben Johnson takes an in-person interview, but he's essentially also getting that by the way that Brady is treated and dealt with right there on the field of the game. It is such a conflict of interest, and to me, it is like the worst possible case scenario when you thought about the potential conflicts of interest, and you've been all over it all year, Lawrence, about the conflict of interest here, but the fact that Brady is in these dual roles, these conversations he's going to have stands as an additional de facto interview and a chance to impress, and showing the possible coach that Tom is fully willing to disregard the rules of the league because he's above the freaking law. I hate it, and I think it's wrong, and I don't think Fox should be allowed to have that interaction happen. They should police him before the game.
They're not going to do that.
I know they're not, but they should send Greg Olsen in. There should be something that is, this is unjust what's happening this week, in my opinion.
Would you feel this way if the Bears weren't looking for a coach?
No, I think this is, as I'm saying, this situation has come up. It's the Bears, it's the Jaguars, it's the Saints if they're going to try an interview. It's any of these other teams that are in direct competition with his Raiders. It's the worst case scenario.
Well, this is what other teams were afraid of,
yes,
which is why they didn't want him to. So to whiteboard this for people. Ordinarily, when a broadcast of this magnitude happens, the broadcast team gets an opportunity. They get most favored nation status inside of a football facility. So Burkhart and EA and Tom Rinaldi will be able to go into the Detroit building and they'll pick a couple of people. Hey, can we get 10 minutes with Dan Campbell? Can we get 5 minutes with Ben Johnson? Can we get 5 minutes with Jared Goff?
Mm-hmm.
They're able to do that. That's what ordinarily happens with the color commentator too. But the league put the rules in so that Brady could not do that part of it. So that's one firewall. But what Spiegs is talking about, it keeps happening. And he's Tom Brady.
He's Tom freaking Brady. He's hanging around. Of course, he could be texting Ben Johnson, you know, as much as he wants. There's no law against that. Or texting with Ben Johnson's agent or whoever, and doing all of that. And that's his right as a human, and that's not policed. And it's just, it is the worst possible scenario for the conflict of interest.
Yeah, the conflict of, and maybe the conflict of interest in calling the game, that's the part where I'm not so sure on. I feel like Tom will probably call it as he sees it. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt of that because I haven't seen him do anything differently than that.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's damaging the broadcast. I think the broadcasts have been really good, in my opinion.
No, but you were saying how like you were worried that maybe he's out there talking glowingly about Ben Johnson and Ben Johnson's offense, and then it could be his agent or someone in his family like, oh, you know, Tom was really, really doing stuff for you.
I'm not worried about his credibility as an announcer.
Well, I don't think you have to worry about it because I don't think he's going to be doing it much longer.
Yeah, you think he's going to be forced to choose?
I don't think he's going to.
Just think he's going to bail.
I've always felt that once we saw that the ownership stake became a thing, once he got ratified in that role, I just think Tom's too competitive to not go and run the Raiders. I think that's probably what he's going to do. Now, if he ends up in the booth next year, I'll be surprised because of it. But and maybe this is, you know, him doing that. Like, maybe this is him using the what he could look at as a competitive advantage. And we all know that, Tom, when there is a competitive
That's what I'm saying. It's shades of Spygate and dragging a bag of balls into the bathroom to inflate them to his preferred amount.
Yeah.
I mean, that's who he is.
This was always the problem, though. This was always the problem with making him that dude. And the league didn't seem to care about it. The only person that I saw, like, vigorously, like, fighting against it was Florio. And from the moment that it happened, Florio was like, man, this really
gives you a lot
of conflicts here.
And I didn't feel it as much. And like, but I just think this is exactly the nightmare scenario. Brady has been the guy, you know, who seemingly is behind the interest. So we'd heard about Ben Johnson. They fire the GM to make it more appealing. And now he gets some opportunities for interaction in game week. That said, I thought it was really good yesterday. There was a moment when Jordan Love decided to throw deep down the right side to a wide receiver in single coverage. And there was a penalty on Green Bay, and Brady was all over exactly what happened in real time. It made for a compelling broadcast.
Love throwing fade far side. It is knocked away at the last second by Rodgers. We told you he subbed in for Slay and tended for Dobbs.
It's actually a run play called. Maybe downfield, but a run play called. Yeah. So when you call the run and then the quarterback decides to throw it, the ball's got to come out of his hands very quickly.
An eligible player downfield. Offense number 79. 5-yard penalty. First down.
Yeah, Glover's obviously blocking the run. He's right here. So he doesn't know Jordan Love's pulling to throw it. But then he sees a one-on-one with a backup corner. That's an aggressive thought by Love. I do like that a lot. He makes a good throw, but better coverage.
So that was a run initially?
That was a run called, and he pulled it. So that corner comes up there and press, and you have a fade adjust like that. That gives you a good opportunity. Now, if that was Darius Slay, he's probably not throwing that ball.
That was dissected in real time and given to you in a way that even surprised Kevin Burkhardt, and I thought it was awesome. And, you know, so like he's good at this and he's gotten better, and I wish he'd stay at this, but we'll see. The ego right now demands that he does both, and we'll see which one the ego prefers next year if he's forced to choose.
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily the ego.
I think the ego is behind the broadcast.
I think that it wasn't a done deal until we got like into the season that he would have that ownership stake. He wanted to stay close to football, and you can choose your own adventure on why he wanted to stay close to football. And maybe it was so that he would have an opportunity to kind of get a free peek at what's happening all around the league.
Oh, you're right. He learned a hell of a lot this year, I'm sure.
And this is what I've been asking the Bears to do. Do you want to win? Do what you got to do.
Yeah. Well,
this is, we know that Tom Brady is the Eddie Guerrero of the NFL. He'll do whatever he has to do.
When I pick those footballs out, at that point, you know, to me, they're perfect.
That's right.
He found them perfect. What?
Absolutely. No, it's very serious. This is a very serious, you know, topic.
Very serious.
It didn't feel serious when he was talking about his perfect balls.
It didn't seem like it.
It didn't. I don't know if Tanny thought it was serious. Shane, did you think the perfect balls was a serious topic? It's hard to tell.
To me, those balls are perfect.
I mean, you got to love yourself. You got to be enjoying that. How about Jordan Love yesterday? What did he throw? Three picks and could have thrown six?
This is the thing with Jordan Love. They're going to be those games. There's also going to be the games where he throws four touchdowns.
Yeah, that ball on the play we just talked about, That was like a perfect ball.
Mm-hmm.
And he threw a few real good balls, and he had like no wide receivers by the end of that game with Watson out and yeah, Jaden Reed out.
He's out there with almost nobody.
Bo Melton and they somebody were still named Heath.
They were still competitive, and I thought it was another mistake that LaFleur made in the Bears game, too.
Going away from the run?
Josh Jacobs is the dude. Like, that guy is an amazing player. And they needed to do more. Did you see that crazy run down to the 1 yard line?
Yes, I did.
My God.
With the shirt getting ripped off.
Like just putting his shoulders. Shout out to Baker Mayfield, too. Hey, Hall of Fame linebacker Fred Warner, you want some? Come get some.
My goodness.
Come get some. I'll meet you at midfield.
Yeah, that was the best game of the weekend last night. And I knew it was going to be. It had that feeling. And then, thank God. Now, there weren't a lot of other good games. True. But I thought that was the best game of the weekend.
It was but the thing is that the Green Bay Philly game, the physicality
was good
of it,
for a while. Yeah,
I really, really enjoyed that part.
Mm-hmm.
What's Hell Week?
Oh, it's time you learned. It's time. If the listeners know, don't say it. Shane and Tanny know. Hell Week has begun. It culminates tomorrow.
Am I involved or?
I mean, only tangentially. You know, you might feel the repercussions of me going through Hell Week.
Okay.
We'll see. You can tell me whether you feel it already, in fact.
Yeah, it kind of feels like it.
Yeah. We'll talk about that next here on 670 The Score at Spiegel & Holmes.
Spiegel & Holmes Show Flashback. Flashback. Flashback.
Among other things, it's Hell Week. For me, absolute hell all week long. And
does Christine know you call it this?
She does. Hear the bells, Lawrence?
I do.
Doesn't mean Trevor Hoffman's coming in.
I was wondering. Oh, by the way, thanks to Twitch Mob, you're right. I said Fred Warner. I don't know why I did that. Bobby Wagner is who I meant. You're right.
And I just let it go.
You're right.
Because I knew what you meant. So I speak Holmesian.
You're right.
Hell's bells are ringing because Hell Week is upon us. It's amazing that Lawrence is just learning now what this is.
So what, like, are you a Marine or something? Like,
no, it's just I have a difficult job to do this week. It culminates tomorrow. Tomorrow is the birthday of both my wife and my 12-year-old son.
Do they know that you call this Hell Week?
They do, in fact.
Quite the surprise, huh, Lawrence? Quite the surprise that the day that you're celebrating your lovely wife and wonderful, respectful, polite son, you equate that to being hell for you.
My mind went to a bunch of different places.
I'm sure
like,
it did.
Like, I thought that maybe this was like a week where, like, Spiegs was fasting or something like that, or...
It's literally just like a personal sacrifice, right?
Yeah,
not like, you know, giving love and affection to the two most important people in your universe.
There's a limit to how much love and affection is available, Chris. Nope. Chris.
Chris. Which won't call me Chris again.
Well, I will. You stand in the way of my Hell Week conversation. I will call you that, Chris, and Reardy. Oh,
wow. Reardy.
I like my name better.
Yeah. Can I go with Chris?
Chris and Chris.
But anyway, Lawrence, I got to balance the attention on the both of them, make sure everybody feels taken care of. And,
oh, no.
And it comes after the Christmas and Hanukkah season.
Hold on.
There are not enough gifts in the world, people.
I've
already given all the gifts.
I have some questions. Aren't you the good vibes guy?
I am. But there's...
Isn't that your whole bit?
It's not a bit.
And he's going to be dead.
And I might be.
Now it kind of feels like a bit, though.
Not a bit.
Because wouldn't this be the thing the good vibes guy would be looking towards?
By the end of the day, the good vibes return. I just... Look, of course it's wonderful. It's an amazing thing that they share this birthday. I'm blessed.
Kind of doesn't sound like it.
I'm blessed that they have found each other thanks, you know, to our situation. And there's much love. And sometimes they even enjoy sharing birthdays. They do. But they also like it separate because it's a big deal for a kid to have his freaking birthday. You know what I mean?
Okay, so Have you done the thing of like, hey, we're going to celebrate you here and we're going to celebrate you over here?
Of course, Lawrence. Come on. I've tried all these things. None of them work. None of them. And my wife says, you know, my birthday doesn't matter as much as I get older. But that's not true. It's simply not true. I'm sure there are men out there and they know their wives say it's not a big deal, honey, but it's a huge deal. So I've just got to make sure that I balance everything and I keep everybody in feeling the love and the attention that they need. It can sometimes be a challenge.
Yeah. So the best way to do that is refer to it as Hell Week.
Yeah. And just to be clear, You know about their birthday like a year in advance, right? You're familiar
like
with it?
All the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Like every year falls on the same day.
I have a 364-day head start.
Right.
What did you do? Make dumplings? That's what you did.
Over the weekend?
That's what you did.
Oh, God.
You've had quite a run of birthdays lately. It seems like every day somebody's celebrating.
Just wife and son, Bob. But thanks. Actually, not just wife and son. It's also Matt Abatacola's birthday tomorrow.
No bearing on this.
It's Marshall Harris's mother's birthday tomorrow.
You don't care about her.
Shout out Wendy.
I wish that my wife and child would just take cash. And some of Marshall's cash. In fact, shout out back to Transition. No, look, I lovingly call it that, but it's just a balance.
So what are you doing?
I don't know yet. I got to figure it out.
It's tomorrow.
Wait, what?
I'm just kidding.
Oh, my God. I was going to say.
No, he's not. He's not.
He's not kidding. Yeah, no, he's not. No, he was trying to scope to see what our reaction would be to that, to see if he could actually be honest.
I got time tonight to figure it out, you know?
What are you going to do?
I'm going to figure it out during breaks. I'm doing it.
Go walk on over to Macy's. That's what you're going to do.
Looks like someone's reading Wikipedia.
Wikipedia. Good birthday gift. Good birthday gift.
Somebody's reading Wikipedia.
CJ, CM Punk, help me.
Do they interact for each other? Like, does Steen take care of Ruben on his birthday? Like, they swap gifts and...
Lovingly, yes. Absolutely.
Why don't you just follow their lead?
Well, it's because there's only one of me, and there's two of them. I'm in a zone. Like, I'm trapped in between. You know what I'm like Fred Werner or Bobby Wagner.
Bobby Wagner. It's
I'm
more,
trapped in between the tight end and the
Fred
running
Wagner.
Back.
Fred Wagner.
I'm Fred Wagner.
I think it's probably more your back on defense on a 2-on-1. And you're trying to figure out where the ball's going, who's trying to score.
Yes. And you know what I'm going to get? Posterized. Like, it is just
okay, Wimby.
it is a given that I'm gonna end up posterized. But no, it's gonna work out. Got really good plans tomorrow morning for the wife, and then tomorrow evening we're all going to dinner together, which should be very nice. And I've got gifts procured already. Cards have been made and created. They're sitting on the desk. So I'm getting better at Hell Week as the years go on.
It sounds like you got it covered.
I think I got it covered.
What's the worry? Did you get bad gifts?
No, it's good. I can't tell you. Craig Christine's gift because it's good. It's good. I'm on the case. No.
Yeah, it sounds like you're real confident.
Hold on.
How much do you guys believe, like, percentage?
Zero.
How much do you believe that he actually got her a gift?
I mean,
already?
He probably did, but I'm going to say he hasn't picked it up yet, or it hasn't gotten in the mail yet.
No.
Wow, that hesitation.
Yeah.
That pause was six months.
I got a notification that it was out for delivery this morning.
Okay, so it hasn't been delivered yet, so I nailed that.
I don't know, let me check my emails and see. No, I think...
All right, so Tanner, you're familiar with Amazon. They pretty much do same-day shipping or at least 2-day, 1-day. So he didn't
especially
even worry about getting the gifts until yesterday or Saturday.
Well, trust me, my wife does this thing where it's like, oh, it'll be here in a couple hours. I'm like, I don't know how much we're paying for that, but it's not worth it to get these items that quickly. I hope you duke your doorman enough so you make sure that package gets through.
Oh, Duke and the doorman.
Yeah, I bet the doorman's celebrating Christine's birthday a little bit better.
He refers to it as Hell Week also.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. I got to make sure that possible datee is available. See, a texture gets me. I have Hell Month. Christmas in July, as I call it. My wife and all three kids have birthdays spread throughout the month.
Sounds like a glorious month.
Yeah, for them.
And for him.
Sounds like that guy loves October sex.
Mike Florio, does he approve of that?
Yeah, should have waited, Florio.
I mean, yeah, you should have timed that out better. It's just difficult, but it's all going to be fine. It's all going to be fine. Just a lot of people.
Which is why you refer to it as Hell Week.
You know, look, I'm very prone to trying to make others around me happy. Youngest of five, get along with all four siblings, always like wanted to try and bring them all together.
Lawrence, how's that working for you, Shane? You too? How's that working for any of us?
You guys
here?
Are doing good.
Yeah, I'm happy enough right now, but if it were my birthday tomorrow, I bet I'd be let down.
But the Speaks have anything to do with this, your happiness.
I mean, I got to be truthful with you, Tanny. Not great.
Oh, no.
Not
great. See, what happened?
Not great.
There's some real stuff coming out between me and Lauren. Some of the divides are starting to take place. Have you guys noticed this?
Not great.
You hear what happened to transition in talking about the Jed Hoyer interview on Friday? Did you guys catch that?
I did, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be interesting.
Did you refer to that game as opening day?
It is, yeah. Isn't it?
It's not.
It's not? Is there a game before that?
Well, no, just because it's the first spring game of the Cubs season.
It's opening day in Arizona.
Yeah.
It's the first game of the
Cactus League.
Cactus I'm with Tanny here. You can't call it opening day.
Yeah, we do a whole thing for that here.
Will there be bunting at the game that you're doing?
Yes, there will.
All right, you better make sure of this.
It's Council's new thing. Remember, he did that a bunch last year.
That's right.
Oh, the other bunting. I bet there will be. Now that you mention it. I think they do bunting for the first day at Sloan Park in Mesa, don't you?
That might be a thing, like a parade around the ballpark. Like yeah. Sometimes you see some of that stuff.
Yeah.
Welcome to Cactus League Baseball.
Exactly.
It's on the score.
5 weeks from tomorrow, doing a game.
And yet, you're way more prepared for that than you are tomorrow.
Already got the scorecard made out.
I know.
And everything.
You were like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do this. And then, like, we were straightening it out with Porth.
Uh-huh.
Last week this was going to go.
Yeah, exactly.
If you put that level of preparation.
Where do y'all think you're going to do the show from out there?
Sloan Park.
And Mesa. That's exactly right. All right, well, I'll get through it. I'll report back tomorrow. Everything should be fine. Thank you for your genuine concern. I really feel it.
It's going to be fine.
I think it will too.
Steen is like the nicest person.
Yes, she is.
Wow, your reaction to that was not great.
Hey, you better break before this guy says something he doesn't want to say. Break, please.
Thank you.
Wait, should I bring up Todd Monken again and see how that goes?
He's how would he do when he's the Monken in the middle of a hell week? You know what I mean? Yep.
Well, I guess we're going to discuss all of that next here on The Score.